We're going into Philippians. Now, what we're going to look at here is persecution, okay? When I'm talking this morning, it's not going to be persecution because you've upset somebody or you've done something wrong and you get a bit of flack. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about persecution where it's because we're sharing Jesus. Okay, it's a different thing, because we're sharing Jesus. Just want to highlight that. So we're going into the book of Philippians.
Okay. So it's Philippians 1, verse 3 to 18. So it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you will be, for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And in this prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they're all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Amen.
Amen. Big round of applause. Look at that. Come on. Okay, guys. So we're going to be looking at persecution today. How is everyone? You okay? Yeah, all good? Diane is anyway. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call today, when your worst nightmare becomes your greatest story. Your worst nightmare becomes your greatest story. And so, this as a bit of an introduction, let's look at the Philippians was written to the first church that was birthed in Europe, and it was started by one convert. That was Lydia. You'll find Lydia in the Book of Acts. She was a dealer in purple cloth and other stuff. And so, straight from the start, you can see that God is not worried about small things. One person was converted, and then that went through to the rest of Europe. You know, I took an Alpha course once with one lady that we took her through the course. We did it because she was so desperate to find Jesus. She found Jesus, moved to the coast, got married to some guy, and now they're planting a church in Canada. And so you never underestimate one person that you're talking to bring to Christ, and do the Bible story in that we're asking you to do. And then we see that Paul is in prison and he's facing execution in prison for sharing Jesus. That's what he's there for. And we see in verse 5 that was wrote there. First of all, there are three times in that passage that Paul mentions prison. So that's where I'm coming out of. What he was going through as much as the things he said. And so he wrote it, you see, in verse 5, to encourage the believers to live a Christ-centered life, to live a gospel-centered life, to go out there and make disciples. And so what Jesus did was he went about, he told very simple, everyday stories, People got the stories, and now he said, now you go and tell someone else. They didn't have a New Testament. You know, we forget that these days. He told stories, they went and shared them with others. Go and make disciples. And so he did that. He did that with 12, and then he said, now you go and tell others. Then he did it with 72, and now he said, go and tell others. And that pattern has followed through till today. That, you know, so many Westerners, we want just information, information, information until our brains bust open. But actually, it's information causing transformation that causes a bit of motion in our life. We go and do something. That's what we're not doing. We're not putting it into motion. And God is calling that. To live a life of serving like Paul. To a life of humility like Paul. A life of joy like Paul. Regardless of the persecution. Regardless of the suffering. Not many of us will end up in prison because of the faith. But maybe we will. But and actually it's an impossible life to live. You cannot live that life under your own strength. But this is where we see the beauty of Philippians open up, where Paul is sharing. And he lived an absolute miraculous life. He relied on the Holy Spirit, of which joy is part of. Joy, love, joy, peace, patience. Joy is part of that. And that's kind of where it's from. And so as we look at the church in the Western world, wonderful. I'm not into slagging anything off. But I am saying it isn't really producing the very thing it's supposed to produce, disciples. And so as we look at the Christian life, measure up yourself. How is yours going? Because the Christian life is a journey with Jesus that involves persecution. It's part of the deal. And it also is, as part of that, we have heavenly experiences where we're filled up with joy. Yeah, absolute joy comes into our hearts. But we need those heavenly encounters, like this morning when Teresa and Sam's plan and worship leading us, and it was like amazing. We're caught up in the presence of God. But we need that all the time so that we can download the joy that we need to go through the persecution that will come. If we're sharing the gospel, if we're sharing Jesus with others, it will come. It will come. But we're going to look, I believe, as I prepared, that God said to me, Clive, I want you to unpack Paul's mindset. Let us know, where was Paul's mind when it came to sharing what he felt Christianity should be? You know, don't forget, God was behind that. Regardless of what we think it should be in the West nowadays, what did Paul think it should be? What life did he live out of? And what we're going to see is very much he lived on earth. It was very real what he went through. But he lived out of heaven, this heavenly mindset, this knowing of God. And it came out of two experiences, his whole mindset. First of all, Paul was, we know the story, he was traveling, just going about his daily life, when suddenly God came and the light shone that was brighter than the sun. That showed the presence of God upon him, came off his horse, went down, and then he heard some words from God. And these two things tell us that the presence of God should be with us, and the hearing of God's voice would be that we should be hearing from the Holy Spirit all the time. These things didn't happen for nothing. But it was a significant presence of God, an encounter with God for Paul. And in that, he got the power to do what he was doing, and he also got commissions to do what God had called him to do. It comes out not just reading the Bible. It's meeting the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible became words on a bit of paper to show us what. And when we lift it off, then words in the paper become life in us. That is what we should experience as Christians, and have them profound encounters if we would just give God time and be open and say, yes, God. Wonder when your first encounter with God like that was. I can remember mine. I didn't know any Christians, not even one. I was halfway through reading the Bible, and suddenly I was asleep. Suddenly I was caught up and launching up to heaven. And I woke up and my heart felt like it was going to come out of my rib cage, and it was pounding. And I woke up in the morning and there was an energy inside. And I knew that wasn't there before. And I knew that I had to get out and share the gospel. And I did with so many people at the time. That's why Tony has come through to faith. Our Tony that was worship leading last week, he came out of that. But I was commissioned and empowered. And I couldn't hold it any longer. I had to tell people about Jesus. Guys, when was the last time you came before Jesus and asked for that? Because that's what he wants. And then the second, we see Paul caught up in the third heaven, where he said this: I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. He didn't know. But he said, I was caught up in paradise. That's the home of God. I don't know what you think of the home of God, of heaven. What's it going to be like? It's going to be exponentially better than we could ever dream or imagine. And somehow Paul's caught up there. He didn't expect it, but God called him up. He showed him what was there. And he said, there were no words to express what I went through, what I saw. And what he was saying is this, that whatever that is like up there, that men's words are not worthy to describe it. It's not right for us to describe that up there because it's so beautiful. And it was an amazing encounter of God like that. It left him absolutely speechless. And that intimacy upon him that ruined him for the rest of life. Have you been ruined for the rest of life? Or are you still chasing after the apple in the garden? You know, we went through it this week. The apple's not one tree now. It's a house. It's a car. It's a man. It's a woman. It's a job. It's power. It's sex. It's all this stuff, which is all good in its own right. As long as we desire Jesus first, he will give us the rest. Can I hear a glory to that? And so where are we in that? Have we got that joy? Are we having them encounters? Because that's where the joy is found that Paul is talking about. It's not happiness. That's what the world, everyone runs after happiness. If you run after happiness, you're not going to be happy. If you run after Jesus, you'll be full of joy and he will make you happy. That's the way it works. And so Psalm 16:11 says this: You make known, Jesus that is, to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. It comes through being in God's presence. It comes through being with him. That's what you're lacking when you say, I feel dry, I feel I'm not being fed, I feel that I need more. It's because we need more of him. We need more time with him. We need to soak it in into our lives. Ephesians 2:6, Paul said, look, I'm trying to convince you of your position now, that you are now seated in the heavenly realms as well as down here. This is Paul's mindset. He went through the stuff we go through down here. His mindset was in heaven. He saw it how God saw it, and it transformed his life. And that's what God wants for us, so that we can joyfully go through the tough stuff. And let's face it, guys, I know you. I love every person in here, and I know so much. You're going through so many things in life, but God wants us to be joyful in that, and it comes from heaven. No, I've had nights, even last night, just couldn't go to sleep, where the presence of God is on me. And it's like, God, I'll try to go to sleep, but I know when he's on me. It's like that buzz, that electricity is there. And it's like, I can't go to sleep. And all I say to God is, look, I don't mind what you're doing. I haven't got a clue what you're doing in me, but do it. But please don't let me be tired in the morning, honestly. And I don't like being tired like you guys. I don't. But I don't fight it when God visits me like that. It's just amazing. And I've had many times when people pray for me and I go over in the Spirit and I haven't got a clue what God is doing. Some people say, well, do you know what God did? No, I don't. Most of them haven't got a clue. But I know afterwards there's a transformation. There's a power inside. There's this energy and this zeal. I've just got to let people know about Jesus. We've got to plant another church. We want some more bell wells going in. There's Indians out there now that are getting fed on the word of God. They're sharing their faith because of what we're doing here. That's what I want. I don't want my life to be worthless or get up there. And God said, well, you had all the opportunity in the world and you chased everything else in the world. That's not what I want. You see, Paul had these transformational times in his life. It's what he's writing out of. He knew God. He knew his Jesus. And so when was the last time you thought to yourself, you know what, I just want to be alone with God. I just want to be alone with Jesus. It's time to press in, guys. That's what God is asking us to do. Press into him. Ask for more of him. And expect more of him. You know, it doesn't matter how much of him you've got. If you can think of vast volumes of Holy Spirit, vaster than the sea, that all the seas put together, he's got that amount of Holy Spirit just for you. Vast volumes for it. Problem is, we get a little sip and we think that's enough. Thimbleful, thank you, God. He's got so much more. We've got to expect it, guys. It's your birthright. It's what we've been born into. Supernatural children of God. None of this crazy kind of stuffy, kind of religious thing that, you know, I was reading it last night, the Pharisee kind of thing going on. I know God, and we criticize others for their, yeah, well, what's that all about? Just enjoy God. Enjoy him. That's what he wants for each one of us. And my challenge is today, where are you with that? And where are you with your experiencing of God? The curtain is torn in two. There's no barrier between. Can you imagine being in I won't mention it now, but there's another faith, Christian faith out there where you've got to speak to the pastor. He will then, like an in-between, you've got to confess to them, tell them. Pardon? Say the name. What, Catholics? Yeah, well, you know. Now I've gone into the, yeah, but not all Catholics are like that, see? I know Pastor Tom in Basildon had 500 born-again people. Yeah, he loved Jesus. Yeah, and to be honest, we've been going into that one, and he right, I don't mind being Barrett, just right with me. Right, so with that one, it doesn't matter what denomination you go in. You've got to check out the pastor. What is he preaching? What is he teaching? Is it Jesus? Is he bringing you into the presence of God? Or is he just churning out religious people that come and be nice people, criticize others? And that's not what we're about. This is Jesus we're talking about. This is the God that is alive today. That's got a plan and purpose for each one of us here. And a bit of motor on is not going to get it done. But you see what I mean? It's all about him. And so we go into the second part. It's not easy, guys. This is not an easy life that God has called us onto. You think about Jesus. What happened to him? Night before he died, he looked into the cup. He saw what God the Father was going to put him through. And he said, God, is there another way? Father, surely not that. And then we see Paul. What happened to Paul? Here he's in prison. It's not going to be an easy life. And if you want to be a godly man or woman in Christ, given over to him to serve him, I can guarantee persecution will come. It came to Paul, died. All the apostles died in an awful way because of that. You look into the history of the saints that came out of that. So many burnt as candles, fed to the lions, and all that stuff was going on. What I'm saying is today is that persecution comes with the gospel. But it's going to help you share the gospel. That's the thing. It always has. It always did. And it always will. I don't know why, but it seems to be the way God moves. Paul said this. I want you to know, brothers, that what happened to me was really it served the advance of the gospel. Paul being in prison advanced the gospel. Far from being a hindrance to it, he said, my imprisonment there, my persecution has advanced it. And when you look it up, places like China over the last century, the things that they had to meet in the dark, in silence, they could not sing the words, they just had to read it out softly in case anyone heard. And the abuses that went on there, the lives that were lost there. But all it did was make people so strong and say, no, I don't care. I'm going to share the gospel. And it spread like wildfire out there, and it still is. I can imagine in 50 years' time, China is going to be transformed from within. That's how God works, in the silence. And so it's time to change our mind about persecution. Persecution, again, from sharing the gospel. You upset someone, that's not what I'm talking about. But Jesus. Imagine Joseph, yeah? So Joseph getting picked on by his brothers, and then they want to throw him into the system. Now, immediately, we want to go in there and rescue him, don't we? We want to say, no, rescue him. Or, you know, he goes into the prison and he's in prison. We want to go, no, it's not right. He's in there for 2 years. Let's do whatever we can to lift him out. Same with missionaries today. Oh, they're having a tough time. Bring them back. No, it's not always like that. God allowed Joseph to go through all that to transform him into being somebody that could lead a nation and lead God's people into being a fantastic, massive nation. So you see what I'm getting at? God uses that kind of persecution. We're going to see that a little bit more. Problem is, in the West, we've settled for a comfort zone, a nice, woolly, fluffy Christianity where we give up sharing Jesus. We stop telling people about him. We can't leave it there, guys. It's time to stop running from persecution and embrace it. Verse 14 says, Paul's imprisonment made other disciples more bold, more confident to speak without fear. We saw what happened to Stephen when he was stoned. Suddenly everyone scattered, but then suddenly churches got planted all over the area because of that. The question is, do you want more boldness to share the gospel? Do you want to be filled with joy that you know that you're pleasing God by your life and he's pouring his Holy Spirit, his joy into your heart? That's where it's from. Fresh fire is available, God, guys. Fresh vigor for God is what he's wanting to pour out today. And whatever you're going through, okay, look at Paul. Look at him as an example. He was beaten with rods, pelted with stones, shipwrecked. Imagine being in the sea, shipwrecked like that. 40 lashes. Now, when you get 40 lashes, once it can kill you. He had it 5 times. He went without sleep. He went hungry. He was exposed because he had nowhere to sleep. He could have died overnight. Now, I'm not saying we don't get persecuted in this country. Part of this message is to wake us up, actually. It is here, okay? It is. Some say, well, we don't get persecuted here compared to others. Maybe not. I know, so we might get ignored. We might get excluded. We might even get taken to court now. Gradually, it is getting worse than that. I know with Faresh, so we sent all the school bags out, okay? So with that, some of the Hindu school kids went home. Their mums and dads went, well, who gave you them? And that was the Christians. Now they've worked out that our guys are Christian and some of them have stopped talking to our Christian brothers and sisters. Persecution, you see. And so you could say, well, when you was out of all the sending them school bags out, you've caused trouble, you've stirred it up, political correctness. Their kids' work has doubled since Christmas, guys. Doubled from 80 to about 160 now. Because of what we did. And they're coming in. The kids are coming in for Sunday school. It's having its work. And so it's time to expect it, not run from it, and know that God is going to use it that way. So persecution is here in this country. We just got to reveal it for what it is. And we can go through it because of the good it's going to do. I know in my life, I had loads of friends, say about 100 beer drinkers, we'd meet down the pub or this pub or that pub and all that. And when I came to Christ, I thought they're all going to want to know. So I've told them. And my friendship with people grew down to about, I don't know, 3 or 4. That's the truth. It reduced massively. But the joy came when now I've got many more friends than I ever did before. And actually friends that love me for who I am, not just because I go out and get drunk with them and do stupid stuff. There's joy in it. And then there's my whole family. My whole family turned their backs on me. You know, Bible basher, this Jesus. You don't have to take it seriously, Clive. They just turned their backs on me. A year ago, my dad died. I wasn't allowed to go to his funeral. My mum died earlier on in this year. I wasn't allowed to go to her funeral. So don't tell me that persecution doesn't happen in this country. It does. It does. I know with Tony, talking to Tony, his mum's venomous against him because of it. And other parts of the family. You don't get invited to a lot of the do's they have because you know they want to go on the booze. They want to have a little bit of happy backy like Lauren used to have. They want to do all that stuff. And I don't want no, we don't men here because they're Christian. Yeah, don't tell me that's not persecution. Yeah, it is. And I think if we own it, suddenly we'll feel more comfortable about who we are. It's what part of this message is, because we know it advances the kingdom. And that's the thing. I've lost all them people, but I have got a bigger family now that love me more than my original family ever did. A massive family. God has taken me on a journey. I've been able to introduce a few hundred people now to Christ. I've been able to part of planting churches. And all that's happened in India, God has got me in this journey. So I am full of joy. I'm not moping about, my friends don't want. I went to a funeral the other week. I'm going to go back near there tomorrow and live like a hero. Honestly, all right? I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. Persecution is good for us, guys, for Jesus, okay? Expect it when it comes. It's quite sobering when you have a look around the world today. And I do hear Christians saying, oh, they're being persecuted, and I'll just pray for peace. Pray for peace, yes, we all want that. We're going to get that forever. Pray for the spread of the gospel is what it's all about. If you go to in Islam now, okay, where parents convert. And so the parents of children convert to Christ. What happens is that the grandparents, they're still Muslim, grasp the parents up to the authorities. The authorities come around, they take the children away, they give them to the grandparents, and the parents can't see them anymore. That's what happens today. Imagine that. And all the parents have to do to keep their kids is renounce Jesus' name. And they don't. That's persecution. Come on. But they go through it because they won't renounce their God. And there are others out there where the young ladies will come to Christ. They'll realize he's the real God, the true God. You know what they do? They make them marry someone 30 years older than them so that they don't get influence over other people. This is going on today, guys. It's a wake-up call. Because whatever persecution we do go through, when you match it up to this stuff, it's, oh my word, they won't renounce their gospel. How many times have we not shared our gospel because we're a little bit fearful we might get embarrassed? They might mock me. They might. And I've had loads of that. We expect it, guys. A few years ago in communist Russia, basically, if you were a pastor then, they could come around and if you didn't renounce your faith, they would hang you and your kids. Okay, that's how it was. Well, at this time, they arrested hundreds of pastors and they whacked them in prison and they left them in prison. And during the day, they had to work in the freezing cold all day. And then when they got back in, they was put back in their cells and they were given a bit of bread and water to eat. And they were hosed down with ice cold water and left in their cell. And all they had to do was renounce Jesus and they could have walked out. Within 2 months, 200 pastors had died. 200 of them were dead. And it led to massive expansion of the gospel when people found out. They were so buzzed up about their pastor dying in that way. They shared the gospel. They got it out there. There was another country. One pastor was in prison for their faith. And just before they came round, you've got to try and imagine you're in that position with your kids. The authorities are going to come round. And you're sitting there, all you have to do is sign a bit of paper saying you renounce Jesus. are not, as they're on the way round to take him for to his death, in prison, whatever. He said to his kids, if I'm in prison and I hear that you've been hung, I'll be the most happiest man on earth. All he had to do was sign the paper. Can you imagine being in that position? This is the reality, guys. This is what the rest of the world are living. We're inoculated here. Do you know this part of China that I was reading about? Right in the middle of nowhere. Missionaries went in there and they're already worshipping Jesus. God is revealing himself to them in visions and signs. And you know what they said? They said, is anyone else out there worshipping Jesus? Is there any other countries? Do they know Jesus like this? And the missionary said, well, actually there is. It's America. They're all praying for you guys. They were stunned. They went silent. England, they're all praying for you. You know what they did? From that time on, they said, we are getting up an hour earlier, just to pray for them. They didn't know that there was anyone else out there that worshipped them. God is at work in the world, guys. And there's another guy called Dimitri. That's one would do. So Dimitri got taken off his family, couple of kids, wife. He got banged up in prison. And so Dimitri's in prison. And every morning he would get up and he would sing a worship song to God. He would sing that worship song. And as he's singing it, all the other prisoners in there, Muzos and all whatever else they were, they're shouting at him. They're banging their cups on the thing. We're going to get you. Shut up about this God and all that. And some people would throw feces at him and all that. And he'd get up the next day and he'd sing his song. The guards came in and they said, if you don't stop, we're going to go and get your kids and we're going to hang them and do something to your wife as well. And he still got up and he sung his song, arms up, praising Jesus. And then they came in after that and they said, we've got your kids. We've taken them off your wife and they've gone into the system. You ain't going to find them no more. And he still didn't give up. They give him a bit of paper and they said, we're going to go to get your wife. If you don't stop that song, we're going to go and get your wife and we're going to sort her out. And they gave him a bit of paper and he broke. I can't handle this. I need to go and find my kids. They came back the next morning with a bit of paper to sign. But God had spoke to him by the Holy Spirit in the night. Your wife's still alive and your kids are okay. And he stood up straight and he said, I'm not signing any bit of paper. And they went out and he stood there and he sung his song. And then they came back and said, we're now going to take your life. A few days' time, that's it. Every day till that time, he got up, put his arms in the air. On the morning that he was supposed to die, they brought him out of his cell. He put his arms in the air to praise Jesus. And 1,500 prisoners put their arms in the air and sung to Jesus. They had come to Jesus because of the persecution that they'd seen him go through, full of joy, not giving up. They realized this must be the real God. When they came down, true story, when they came down to execute him, they opened the door and instead of it being an execution, they let him out. He just walked out of prison. It took him ages to realize what was going on. They didn't tell him. He went and found his wife and his kids were fine. But the thing, 1,500 hardened criminals because he honored God. And here's the underlying bit about it all, guys. At the end of the day, Muslims are not the enemy of the gospel. Hindus is not the enemy of the gospel. Atheism is not the enemy of the gospel. Persecution is definitely not the enemy of the gospel. Not sharing Jesus is the enemy of the gospel. Lostness is the enemy of the gospel. Jesus said this, happy, blessed will you be when people persecute you and insult you and say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. He said, don't run from it. He said, run into it. Embrace it. And God is calling us to go and make disciples today. Find that person that you can share the gospel with, share the Bible with. As we teach little stories, you can go out there and share it with someone else. You don't have to be mastermind. You don't have to have gone through college and got a bit of paper saying you know it all. You just need to hear the story and repeat it and bring them to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And when persecution does come, have the mindset of Paul. And the mindset of Paul, see it from heavenly perspective and draw down that joy to wisdom.